I'm going to start, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to start where Donnie left off last week.
That was crucial.
Yes. And if you recall, for those who were here or listened in, he was talking about just how God talks about how he describes himself as being a fortress, a high tower, shield and buckler. And just all the attributes to God that he is, and we're to trust in him. And then he finished in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, with this verse. And this is where we're going to start. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not our own might. And the end of that, in the power of might, could be the strength of his ability. And we know God is a source of unlimited resources. He has the power and the might far beyond what man collectively or individually can do. I'm sure we're all in agreement with that. And in here, he tells us how to be strong in his might. A lot of times it's in related matters or in the general context, you have to find out. You know, he always gives, especially tell us to be strong in it, to be strong in him, he will tell us how to be strong. We are not to figure it out for ourselves. Okay? So, and then verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And now we're going to get into a couple verses where this section is just dripping with figures of speech in here. And he's making comparisons to the things of God to battle armor, right? So, and it's kind of what, out of context. It almost sounds like he's starting, giving new information, but really he's tying up all of Ephesians in a nice package, but one that grabs our attention, right? Because figures of speech are, the creator's way, of drawing our attention, the reader's attention to what is being said. And now, if you just quick, look through the, remember of Ephesians, we're got all spiritual blessings, out of love and God's blessed, we're redeemed, we're sanctified, we're made his children, and then out of, for his great love, where he loved us, and then you get into the one body, the mystery. And it just seems a little out of context going into such a harsh, battle armor now. After all the sweetness and, goodness, which is easily entreated, all of a sudden it's like, boom, put on the whole armor. God's like, wait a minute, whoa, what's going on here? But he's just kind of surmising what's going on and just pulling back the curtain and telling us how to be strong in him and things that we need to pay attention to and to look out for. And says that we put on the whole armor of God that we're able to stand or withstand or resist against the wiles of the devil, which is, the devil strategies. He plans and he has purposes, and they're contrary to God. And if we're to, be strong in the Lord, he's telling us, he's giving us information that we're to stand against the devil and his plans and purposes. Verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness on high. Okay, so start out here. For we wrestle. That word wrestle is kind of where we get the word grapple with. And it's it's not like our westernized wrestling. It's more of, remember, it's an old book from the East. So they have different kind of wrestling where basically it was two people lock up and their object was to throw the other person down. And the one that stood, we're to stand against the devil, is the winner. So it was like, but here it says in verse 12 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And what is that a figure of speech of? I mean, the natural realm. We don't, wrestle. But then he tells us what we do wrestle with. It's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. So that's what our true wrestling is. If you ever could see it, it's all over the news and all over the place. But if you ever feel you're being drawn in and it's with the natural realm, then there's something going on. It's something we shouldn't get involved with, or cut it short, or don't, you know what I mean? So just be careful with that. You don't want to get distracted by the, you know, things of this world. Now, if you have a Bible, mark it, because we're going to be flipping back, but we'll be always coming back to this section. So, and if you have an ERS, I guess you'll just be tapping your way back here. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you spirit of wisdom. Look at that. And revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? Your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know where to experientially know God. This is how it helps keeps us strong. God gives us wisdom by spirit, and that's how we interact with him. We know if he saved my behind, you know, the last 900 times, he's going to do it probably the next time too. You know, God is proven. He is faithful. He is our shield and buckler, and we trust in him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And that's very similar to what was in verse 6, you know, according to the strength of his ability, or the might of his power. Okay, it's in God. Verse 20, which he wrought, and he did all this, and he put it in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Okay? It says that he put it in Christ, and when you're born again, what is it saying? It's Christ in you, so it's God in Christ, you know, God in Christ, and Christ in you. So we have this power, we have this ability, if we trust him, then that is far superior than what the adversary's got going on. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name, that is name, sounds kind of familiar, right? We just read that back in 6. His name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Excuse me. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Christ fills all in everyone. Every born-again person gets it all. You know, it's like, oh, sorry, we had a shortage of love today. You know, we'll give you a rain check on that. We get it all, and if we're strong in believing and knowing God's word and believing it and putting it on, like putting on the armor of God, that's what it is. We hold fast to that, and God put all those things far below him, and and he raised Jesus Christ, well, he put Jesus Christ far above that, and he put that stuff below. So we're ahead of that stuff. We're superior to that stuff if we stay, you know, locked in with the Father. And sometimes, well, I won't go there. Just keep going. Okay, so, and no, 1 John 4:4, don't go there. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 6. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. So we have this victory. We already have the victory. It's in Christ. It's not our own works, but we trust in him and we believe it. You know, we just set our minds on it. Okay? Verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, second time it's reiterated, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, we take that whole armor, and we're able to stand and withstand in the evil in that evil day, in the times of attacks, or also including in this present evil age, that we'll be able to withstand. And it says, having done all to stand, it's also could be understood as having overcome all, or haven't accomplished all. Okay, so when we continue to work God's word and stand on it, and you know, keep it as our strength, our shield, our buckler, we'll overcome all. Let's go to 1 Peter. Get Mark here. 1 Peter chapter 5. All these verses are going to be familiar with, just a remembrance, again, a reassuring, and a let's keep it up kind of thing here for everybody as we continue, because current events are, I mean, it's really raging out there. The adversary's just having a field day, and we need to be aware, be sharp. Here we go, verse 6, First Peter chapter 5, right? Humble yourselves, therefore, into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Okay, let's keep reading. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the Lord. So see, there are people doing it, and I gotta say, just about all you guys either are dealing or have dealt with stuff that, and you meet it with the word, it's just amazing. Doesn't mean we're not gonna get attacked, you know, we're not gonna get those, you know, the fiery darts. We still deal with stuff, but when you handle it with the word, there's deliverance, and it just takes the sting, or the people just don't get, you don't just get bowled over. You know what's going on. And you're just able to meet it. And we know the outcome. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We know the outcome. We know what happens in the end. So it's a comfort and reassuring. Also in James, don't go there. You go back to Ephesians 6. In James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's it. So we take that stand. We don't want to be thrown, but we have the right way of believing. God, we have Christ in us. All things have been accomplished for us. It's been given to us. We just have to learn how to use it. You know, take use of it, right? And, you know, the adversary is going to roar. But when you stand and resist, he'll flee. Okay, verse 14 of Ephesians 6. Says stand again, and another figure of speech. With 13 ends with stand, and 14 begins with the word stand. Get another figure of speech when a phrase or a sentence or a clause ends and starts with the same word. It's drawing attention to that. We are to stand. God didn't, you know, make us sons of God, and you know, if you guys figure it out and want us to get, you know, run over by the, you know, by the adversary, he wants us to see. We're to stand. Resist. Remember, the last one standing in that grappling is the winner, and we can. We have given the rights, privileges, abilities. We've been given, as we're reading, armaments. We've been weaponized. We are not, you know, we are not prey for the roaring lion. We are not. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay. Your loins. Your midsection. It's the strongest part of your body. Okay. It also, I was reading where it's also recognized as, you know, reproductive life. It gives life. Its reproductive organs are housed there. Okay. And the girding about with the truth is in the land of times of Bibles, you know, their dress and attire was kind of like robes. So when they went to work, they tied it up. They girded it, and that's what we do with the truth. And the truth is, it's God's word, but it's the ideas and the concepts that it, you know, that it, those words, yield. That's what we gird about to our strongest part, you know, and our life-giving part is the truth of God's word. You know, what it means, and we just tie that to us, you know, in our strongest part. Okay, so they would do that in battle, and when they worked, they would, you know, gird up their loins. But we are told to do it with the truth. And continuing on, verse 14, it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, the chest, the breastplate, right? In the army and military, they have vests to protect the area which houses the vital organs, which is another very important part. And so it's just, you know, it kind of also represented the heart. I know the heart's, in, you know, the inner part of the mind, but, you know, you just, we're righteous. Not that we figured it out for ourselves. Could anybody here, collectively, if it was a whole nation or the whole world together, could not earn righteousness? And this is God's righteousness. It's not, as you see, there's many kinds of different righteousness out there, but this is God's standard. This is God's justness. And we are. And we are as, you know, righteous as, you know, as Jesus Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made him to be sin for us, who, you know, that we might become the righteousness of God. How do you get more righteous than that? And then early in Ephesians 1, it says that, you know, we have the forgiveness of sins, and that word forgiveness is actually remission. It's not like, oh, you did that and you're forgiven. It's like, oh, you didn't do that. It's taken away. And Jesus Christ is a very complete and adequate substitutionary sacrifice. He paid it all. And God, when he looks at us, don't see that. Although the world and circumstances may say, you know, you don't quite have it all, you know, not quite right. And it might, you know, and that's the roaring attack. That's the attack, you know, grappling with that stuff. We're righteous, and you just protect your, you know, your heart with that. Don't let anybody mess with that. All right. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, and those are like the sandals and the foot coverings of the feet. Okay, and it says, you know, have it strapped on, shod, right? It's like when if I'm preparing for a test, and I come to the test, I should be ready for the test, right? Here we are, we have that, we're ready, we have that strapped on, we're ready to speak the gospel of peace. We're just ready to go. And it's the feet is, again, a figure of speech. You know, our feet don't really do the talking or anything, but that's what gets us around. It's kind of like what gets us there. So it's saying, you know, you just be ready to, you know, speak the word, be ready to go. Let's go to, keep a marker here, let's go to Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1. And the peace here is, it's a tranquility and oneness with God. Imagine that. I mean, there's a lot of people I don't have that with. But with God, we do. And it's because Jesus Christ is. He's not at odds with us. I mean, even in the Old Testament, he says a lot. You know, as much as they were, he's like, I know the end for you. I know it's good. I have these things for you, you know. And that's how he is with his people. Imagine his children, who Christ paid for. Right? Romans 8, we're not going to read it, but remember 8? You know, who's going to lay anything to your the charge of his elect? God? No. Who sent his son? Jesus Christ? No. The one who died for you? No. So, just, you know, we're at peace with God, you know? It just, all right, let me read. Put rattle in here. Okay. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, right way of believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Look at that. We stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then you keep reading, it gets into tribulations and that, and, you know, stuff happens. But we're at peace with God. God's not walking around, people thinking, you know, God's walking around with a bat and he stubs his toe and then bites his tongue and like he's going to, you know, now he's angry, he's going to start swinging it. It's like, no, you know, and it's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance. Not, you know, I went to a, you may or may not remember, years ago I went to a baseball game. And there was a guy out there with crowds, you know, yelling, pretty much fire, you know, preaching the fire and brimstone stuff. And it just hurt my heart. It's like, you know, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. So, you know, just, it's, God loves you. He doesn't want to be separated from you. How much more you think people would, you know, be attracted to that, then maybe, you know, if you don't, you're going to hell. It's like, okay, well, I'll just do my own thing. Thank you very much. I'm out of here, you know. But again, God directs, you know, if that's what you told you to say, then you say it. But it's the gospel of peace. This is what we, you know, preach. Chapter 10 of the Romans. 13. Again, another familiar section you share to you. 10:13-15, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, particularly, I don't like my feet. I don't think they're pretty. But it's not really talking about the physical feet, right? It's, again, so when they come with that, you know, with that gospel, tell them about what Christ did for you, how God loves you, right? And when it was written before, that was in Isaiah, talking about the righteous servant who would die for us. So, very cool stuff. Romans 6, verse 16. Again, a lot of people get kind of taken out with the comparisons with the armor of God, but it's what it's being compared to. Those should be the highlight. You know, our righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith. You know, the shield, the believing, the sword. You know, the word, you know, God's word, the sword. Those are the things that should be highlighted. But it's, again, I think it's drawing attention to the seriousness. Like, this is very important stuff, and this is how we win that grappling. Verse 16. And above all, and it starts out above all, the King James, I think a poor translation. We were told twice to, you know, take the whole armor of God, but then he goes, you know, but then here it says above all, you know, like kind of separating. It's just not the best translation. I think in the working translation it says with all these things. It's all included. Okay? With all these things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay? Now, it talks about the right way of believing, the shield of faith, and what God declares to be true is what we believe. And but then it says, shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. Now, the word quench is to extinguish. Now, if I have a dart coming, a fiery dart coming at me, and the fire is extinguished, is there anything else still coming at me?
The darts.
Okay, so, like I said, you know, we're all old enough, we know that we don't have, like, immunity from every and any bad thing going on in this world, or, you know. But, like it talks about in Thessalonians, you know, the word is for comfort. When we know these things, it just takes the sting out of it, you know, like the heaviness, where people don't have the word, you know, God's word, they just get taken out and bowled over. But we know, you know, we're aware, and sometimes, you know, maybe, okay, the shield don't catch it, but then hits the breastplate, or hits the helmet, you know. So it just, you know, it may not completely take it away, but at least it takes the, you know, the power that the adversary is trying, you know, still kill and destroy, trying to freak everybody out. But it takes, you know, his roaring. He just roar right back. Just that, the little kitty cat, yeah, you know, little thing. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Okay, the helmet of salvation, right? Object that covers the head, the mind. The helmet of salvation. Now, this could be salvation. There are many types of salvations. This could be salvation in the present time when you're getting attacked, or maybe that dart, you know, the fire got put out, and maybe the dart gets, you know, you get saved from that. Or, how about the greatest salvation of all? We're all... One day, we're all going, God's going to clean up the mess down here, Jesus Christ. You know, no tear will dim the eye. There'll be no sin sickness, you know, unrighteousness. God cleans it all up. So going into a battle or something, knowing the outcome, that even at the very worst possible outcome, is eternity with God, okay? You know, so again, it kind of, you know, takes the heaviness out of it, you know, so... And it's just easier to deal with, right?
Yeah.
The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the sword of God, that Spirit stands for God, which is the Word of God. Okay, sword of the Spirit. Okay, this is God's sword. Okay, we're in God's strength, and we're using God's armor. This is God's sword. which is, let's go to, again, more familiar races, places. Hebrews 4:12. This is not a, again, more weapons we have, and this is not a little, you know, this is not minor by no means. All these are important, or God wouldn't have had it put in that way. So, very important to use. And he gives us to use it. So we ought to use it the way he says we should. Again, it's so we can stand against the grappling of this present evil age. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner or a critic the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that's God's word. It is quick, it's life-giving, it's powerful, and it's sharp. And when we use it according to his will, all these things are very important. We use just the whole armor. Okay? All these things are very important. And God knows what we needed, so he gave us these things to use. On your way back to Ephesians, stop at 2 Timothy 3:16. Says, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, this, all scripture is given. This is God's sword. It's all given for us, and it's profitable for the things mentioned there, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. The perfect and the furnished are forms of the same word. So you can put, you can understand it as God may be, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly perfected, or furnished, thoroughly furnished, whatever one you like, you know, or fully equipped, you know. God gave us it all, and this is what is profitable for the man of God, you know, where to use it. It's for our overcoming, for our standing and resisting in the grappling of spiritual realm. And even though verse 18 there's nothing compared to like another armor type thing, but it's kind of right there, and it's very important. We're going to read verse 18 of Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Okay, this is not, prayer is not a crutch, prayer is not a sign of weakness. It's all, it actually, it's also, and it says pray in the Spirit, so in you know, it, with our new spirit nature. It could give us information ahead of time, it could tell us how to get out of things, it helps for the body of believers, which again is in Ephesians 3, right? Where, you know, so all this is very important, and it could, it's just so important, including all that. And again, it's stuff that God has given us to use in the grappling with the spiritual nature, and we are to stand, we are to resist. And God has empowered us, he's given us rights, privileges, and abilities, armaments, weaponized. We are not nobodies with nothing to do, nothing to offer, and nothing to say. This, we've been given a lot. And this is what we can, this is how we stand and resist the devil, so we don't get thrown, or we don't become prey to the devil. Also, this brings glory to God, to use what he accomplished for us by Jesus Christ.